إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. I hope you are hearing me. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم عليه، اللهم صل عليه صلاة دائمة إلى يوم الدين، وصل على آله وصحابته ومن والاهم واهتدى بهديهم واستنى بسنتهم ودعا بدعوتهم إلى يوم الدين، اللهم اجعلنا منهم. أما بعد، عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي أولا بتقوى الله، فإن التقوى كما يقول صلى الله عليه وسلم التقوى جمع كل خير، فاتقوا الله ما استطعتم وأتمروا أوامره واجتنبوا نواهيه لعلكم تفلحون. My dear brothers and sisters, before I proceed, I praise Almighty Allah, the creator, sustainer and cherisher of the worlds, who introduces himself to us through his beautiful names and attributes. The most important of them is the all-compassionate, all-merciful. So let us invoke Allah's mercy and forgiveness and grace by calling upon him through these beautiful names. Because Allah says he has the beautiful names, use them, invoke them, to call upon him, to entreat him, to beg him for pardon and mercy and forgiveness. So let us be inspired to call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether we are sick or healthy, rich or poor, in all states and conditions, because when we call upon the Lord, we benefit ourselves, we gain his grace, and we are enjoying that peace, which is a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because who alone is As-Salam, the source of peace and tranquility. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, sustainer and cherisher of all the worlds. I also bear witness that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the final messenger. The circle of prophecy has been closed. He was the last link in the chain of prophets. From the beginning of time, Adam alayhi salam, until the last day. This chain is complete now. So there is no one else we are waiting for as a savior. The savior has come. The messenger has come. The message has come. So we ought to respond to the message, and we ought to look up to the beautiful example of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I heard that previous khutbah was dedicated to Ramadan, and I am sure there are sessions on fasting in Ramadan, but I need to emphasize something which many of us forget. Teachers of Islam, teachers of jurisprudence, teachers of Aqeedah. There is a distinction to be drawn between the inner soul of your acts of worship. Because Sharia is to guide humanity. Sharia is to take us from that miserable state into a state of being, a state of becoming, a state of actualizing the highest potential God has endowed me and you with. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِهِ يَاقْوَمْ. This Quran calls humanity to a path, to a program that is the best, that will help them realize the best potential, to be the peak performers, to realize the fullness of the human potential, fullness of the divine powers within me and you. And that is the purpose of the revelation, and that is the purpose of all the acts of worship. Unless we are aware of the soul, the inner dimensions, as Imam Ghazali calls it, we will be performing rituals and no change will take place within me or in the community, in the family, in the society, and I will be miserable, the community miserable, humanity is miserable. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us the recipe. If we don't use it, the prescription is here. But we need to take it. We need to internalize this message. And we need to translate it into tangible behavior, into manners, into words, into thoughts, into action in the community, so that there is a new revival, a new man, a new woman. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created the species of jinn and humankind solely to worship me. One of the founders of modern psychology, Carl Jung, he was studying the pathological state, human beings, and those who are fulfilled, actualized. He said, as a clinical psychologist, treating and diagnosing mental patients, he came to the conclusion that only people who could help in therapy, in behavioral modification, in overcoming the emotional and psychological problems, the only people who could help were those who believed in God Almighty. That power behind everything. Because when you have that belief, you have the meaning and purpose of your existence. And he said, without this sense of meaning and purpose, humanity cannot be healed, humanity cannot be restored to a balanced state of health, physical, emotional and spiritual. And the purpose of ibadat in Islam, ibadat has been instituted for our benefit. Qawaidul Ahkam fi Masalih al-Anam. One of the giants of Islamic jurists, he is called Sultan al-Ulama. All of the jurists of different schools look up to him as the emperor of scholars. His masterpiece is called Qawaidul Ahkam fi Masalih al-Anam. He wants to show us through this treatise, through this masterpiece, that all of the Sharia, all of the divine regulations and rules have a sole, one single purpose. The welfare of humanity, the well-being of humanity, the happiness and felicity of humanity. So, Allah doesn't need my prayer. He doesn't need your prayer. He doesn't need your zakah. He doesn't need the fasting from us. He doesn't need Hajj. They have been instituted for my benefit, your benefit, not as individuals alone, but as a community, as humanity, and changing the world. So are we aware? But once we focus, how often you have to get away from somebody standing beside you in prayer because he wants to straighten this line perfect. And the moment you move away a little bit, your feet away from him because he has been rubbing your feet, you want to concentrate in your communion with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but he is stepping on it. The reason is, we become obsessed with the form and the ritual. And we are not aware of the fact, الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Salah has a soul. The soul of Salah is, once you have been given this form, just take it. Don't question it. Follow it. But then focus. The main thing is, يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ. In the Salah, you are communing, you are communicating, you are whispering with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need to know what you are reading. You need to know what you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course there are other things in salah. Because all of Islam, if you look at it, ibadah in Islam is liberation for me and you. Liberation from ourselves. Liberation from the idol within, idol without. Revelation from our subjectivity. We are imprisoned by so many things. We are chained and shackled. And ibadah in Islam is to make you free. Sure. And the freedom for human being is by centering his life around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Submitting to Allah alone. You become free from all those idols and deities beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which chain you and shackle you and take away your freedom and dignity and make you surrender to false gods. It could be another human being, it could be another woman, it could be even your wife, because when you submit to her will, whether it is acceptable to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are making her an idol. If you are obsessed with your world, this world, the world becomes an idol for you. If you are obsessed with wealth, it becomes an idol beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, back to the meaning and purpose of life, inculcated every day through prayer. There are two faces in Islam. One face towards the Creator. Ittaqillah. Be mindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Creator of all beings, the source of life. Connect yourself with the sender, the source of power, source of energy, source of meaning and purpose in life. And the other phase is, and that meaning you translate it in patterns of behavior. How do you treat human beings? How do you treat the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How you build the community? Salah is one of the beautiful examples. It has the two phases. One is, you are communing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The other phase is the social. The greatest tyranny in religions, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, reminding us of the liberation in Islam, God has commissioned us to take up humanity from the slavery of men to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and from the tyranny of religions to the justice of Islam. And the tyranny of religion is that when some people arrogate to themselves the power of divinity, and they act as God, or God men or God women, intermediaries between God and human being. Islam takes this, and this privilege only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the salah teaches us, we commune with Allah, we bow down to Allah, we obey Allah unconditionally, alone Allah. And the second thing is, all this hierarchy, creating walls between human beings, completely broken down, and you stand shoulder to shoulder with members of the human family, white or black, red or yellow, rich or poor. So social dimension. It's perfect democracy in the masjid, brothers. The problem with Muslims is we don't internalize it because it's not reflected in the social behavior outside. We still have 10,000 princes. Somebody asked me the question in the fatwa line, where did this royalty come in Islam? Brother, it is a pagan idea imported into the Muslim world from the European feudal lords. And we took it. And now Muslims also think, you know, the wealth in countries belong to the king, not only to the king, but the 10,000 princes, the royal family. This is the utmost bid'ah, but even our scholars don't see it. This is enslavement. This is slavery. So there is no slavery to the king, no slavery to the imam, because some people think, and they are copying this Shia concept, the imam has to rule. Theocracy. There is no theocracy in Islam. Because in Islam, it's shura. And that concept has to be there in internalized, this social cohesion, this egalitarianism, this equality. in the salah. And of course then the building of the community. Friday is the biggest assembly of Muslims. And you see, we gather weekly in Jummah, biggest al-jami, cathedral, mosque, if you want to use that term. So, you know, this whole wisdom is destroyed when I want another Jummah side by in the warehouse. Another in this warehouse, another in that warehouse. You kill that thing because once a week from all the masajid, gather in al-jami. And then once a year or twice a year, all the Jawami gather in one Eid celebration. And then once in your lifetime, gather with humanity in Hajj. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instituted this religion so beautifully. We distort it because now I come from South India, South Indian one mosque. Tamils want another mosque. Somali want another mosque. Guyani want another mosque. Gujarati want another mosque. You divide this community. You know why? Because we don't get to the spirit of the salah. And you know when to come zakah. You know this sharing. This is the most beautiful religion in the world. There is nothing like Islam which has combined in balance the individual and the collective demands of the society, demands of spirit and physical, well, material matter, all of these dimensions integrated most beautifully. You have zakah in Islam. Zakah is ibadah maliyah. Of course, it has a spiritual dimension of purification because you know why? I love my wealth, you love your wealth. But don't let your wealth rule you. Let it not be in your heart. Let it be in your hand to spend it where Allah wants you to spend it. Because al-malu malullah, wealth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is loaned to you. It is given you in trust. So, we need to share it. لِكَيْ لَا يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنِ الْأَغْنِيَةِ مِنْكُمْ So that the wealth is not concentrated in a few hands. Few hands, 99 versus 1%, that is what the world is coming to now. 99% nothing, 1% own everything. Islam want to avoid the situation when zakah is implemented, 2.5% and sadaqah implemented, you have leveling of these major gaps. And of course, ownership is still there, but there will be nobody suffering, no poor. Formula, perfect divine formula, but we don't apply it. And some want to reduce this consumption, wastage. But the Muslim community has turned into a month of wastage. Na'udhu billah. More consumption in Ramadan. That's why Imam Ghazali told us, there are three types of people who fast. The only group who benefit optimally from fasting is those who stay away from everything and use this for spiritual centering on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Away. Because, you know, Shaitan is the biggest enemy. It's within me. It's within you. So we need to be able to restrain this devil within and chain him. And Ramadan does help us to do that. Because the shaitan gets to us through gluttony, through this greed, through this desire, carnal soul, desire to mate, desire to be tempted, to use lustful thoughts. And fasting helps us to restrain. And then on the other hand, the other side of Ramadan is empathy. You know, Islam, fasting exposes you to what the millions in the world go through day in and day out when they suffer that thirst and hunger. Bitterness of it every day. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned us to go through the same experience. So I know now what it is like to have not even one morsel of food One glass of water. I know now. Not just one day, it's a month. So, we know it. Rich or poor, you must go through this experience and then it must lead you to empathize. To the next level. Translate this spirit of fasting into tangible actions. Alhamdulillah, this community, Muslim community, you may blame them for many things, but at least something of it is done by Muslims, because there is no nation on the face of the earth more charitable than Muslims. And that's why Revenue Canada always review your tax. You receive donations. Why? Because we give more in charity, but I'm not saying stop it. Do more. Because when we give more for the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will bless everything we have. So, Alhamdulillah, but what will happen if this formula is, if this zakah, spirit of zakah, spirit of prayer, spirit of fasting is translated and we cut down this overspending? How often you see food thrown to that garbage? You don't like this food sometime, so you throw it? Please, don't do that. Don't take that food. Just sample it before you take it. If you don't like it, don't take it. Don't throw it away. Because you know why? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah give you a blessing, you don't treat it with respect, Allah will take away the blessing from you. Period. One grain fell on the ground, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam picked it, washed it, and ate it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Aisha, when Allah sends a blessing, you don't treat it with respect, Allah will take it away from you. So, we have the perfect formula. So in fasting, in order to benefit from fasting, cut down your consumption in Ramadan. Not that in my country, in India, I know some people take a bank loan to have all those special dishes prepared, which they don't get to eat in the rest of the month. Na'udhu billah. Astaghfirullah. Astaghfirullah. I urge you to go on the scale before entering the month of Ramadan. If it is 160, which is my measurement, it should be at least 5 pounds less by the end of Ramadan. Then we have gained the physical benefit. And continue that. And also use the month of Ramadan. All the mindfulness. Mindfulness. Practice of mindfulness. We heard here about mindfulness on all these forums in Islam. People ask the question, do you have this in Islam? Of course we have it in Islam, and that's what used to be learned in Salah. That is what has to be learned in fasting. Fasting is a school. It's a university. Training course. Not one day, 2 days or a week. It's one full month. It's a time to change bad habits. Take on new habits. You smoke cold turkey in Ramadan. Do it. With the help of Allah, you can do it. Na'udhu billah, if you're drinking cold turkey, quit it and ask the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can do it. If you are addicted to Facebook, cold turkey. If you are addicted to internet, cold turkey, quit it and ask the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the habits make you successful or a failure in life. What's my habit? What's your habit? That's what you are, that's what I am. So, we have this perfect formula. Of course, the peak of all of the ibadat is what? Hajj. In Hajj, all of these things are encapsulated in a different way. And that you are now, unless you are gathering once a year or twice a year with the whole community in Toronto, in the Hajj you are gathering with all of humanity. Because one God, one humanity. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in farewell Hajj, Ya ayyuhan nas, O mankind, inna rabbakum wahid, wa inna abakum wahid. Your Lord is one, and your father is one. Do we have the formula to change the world condition? Surely we have. But we need to translate it. Begin from your home. Begin from within. Let the heart be connected with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I make that prayer, and I say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, I should be able to come out of that prayer and smile and give everybody Assalamu alaikum. Not just the one you like to shake hands. And somebody is standing beside, you refuse to shake hands. No, this is you didn't pray. Because no Jannah without Iman and no Iman without love of everyone. Afshu salamu bainakum, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Wallahi, by Allah, you cannot get to Jannah until you have real Iman. And Wallahi, he said, you cannot have Iman until you love one another for the love of Allah. Not for anything else. Not because he's from my ethnic background or racial background or speaks my language. No, because from Adam. And shall I tell you something, a formula, which you consciously, if you implement it consciously, you are going to have that love for one another. Afshu salamu bainakum. Spread the greeting of peace. Let it come from the heart. Not assalamu alaikum. Let it come from heart. I wish you peace. And he also says, I wish you peace. Let it be a prayer. That which comes from the heart goes to the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to come back to the inner dimensions of the salah. So that we don't go from salah and cheat in that business. I bought this for $10. I'm giving it to you for $5. Actually, you may have bought it for $2. This is cheating. This is cheating. How can you do that? You have communed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have developed this awareness that you are judged by the judge of the judges, the king of the kings, and there is transparency. You cannot buy that lawyer to get away from the judgment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No, brothers and sisters, let us come back to the soul of ibadat and let it transform me from within and let it be manifested in mercy in the family, with the children, mercy with the neighbors, and treating everybody as you want them to treat you. أَحِبَّ لِلنَّاسِ مَا تُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِكَ تَكُنْ مُسْلِمًا. Love for others, he didn't say for Muslims. He said لِلنَّاسِ, for all of mankind, what you love for yourself, then you will be a real Muslim. We want the salam. And the salam comes in this way. When we implement the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a source of healing, source of peace, source of harmony in life. أَقُلْ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله الذي هدانا إلى دين الإسلام وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. When the name of Rasulullah is mentioned, please let your tongue, let your heart move with that greeting of salutation and peace. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send down his peace and blessings on his messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and companions and all those who shall follow the beautiful examples until the end of times. Let us also invoke the mercy and blessings of Allah on all those who have passed away. Our grandparents, parents, uncles and aunts, and all those who have passed away from all over the world in this community and elsewhere. Allahumma ghafir lil mu'minin wal mu'minat wal muslimin wal muslimat al ahya'i minhum wal amwat. Let us also pray for those who are sick and suffering. Allahumma rabban nas, Allahumma ya rahman ya rahim, Allahumma arhamhum bi rahmatikal wasi'ah, Allahumma shfihim wa afihim, Allahumma shfihim wa afihim, Allahumma shfihim wa afihim. Let us also pray for our young people who are delaying their marriages. Until a time comes, they will never get married. Then this masajid will be vacant. Old people, Ahmad Kuti and others, will pass away. And where is the new generation coming? We need marriage. We need to propagate it. Cut down these conditions that you have. Unrealistic expectations. Get married, brothers, and have children. Increase the Muslim population here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them, inspire them. Choose wisely. Allahumma, and also let us pray for those who are straying away from the path. Young people, males and females. Allahumma, ya Rahman, ya Rahim. Allahumma, ya Hadi, Allahumma, Hadim. Allahumma, ruddhum ila deenika raddan jameela. Allahumma, ruddhum ila deenika raddan jameela. Allahumma, hdina wa hdi bina. Waj'alna sababan liman ihtada. ربنا لا تدع لنا ذنبا الا غفرته ولا هما الا فرجته ولا دينا الا قضيته ولا مريضا الا شفيته ولا ميتا الا رحمته ولا حاجه ترضيك الا قضيتها يا ارحم الراحمين. I'm asking Sheikh Sa'id to pray because my throat is not very good. Jurisprudence.